God giveth the victory. Before we moved over to this sanctuary, we thank God for the convenience and the opportunity to have the space for new ones to come in. And as I said this morning, we have over 80 new converts in the last 2 months. People are coming in, driving by because we're located on First Avenue and coming in to see what's happening. And we're getting about 10 people a week dropping in to see what's happening. And God is doing something. And before we came over, I know there were some people who subconsciously at least were thinking that when we move to the new sanctuary, that's going to be the glory. And when we moved over, it was kind of disappointing, anticlimactical for a bit, because I think people got their eyes on the temple a little bit of the building instead of on God. But then we began to have a real move of the Spirit. We were coming up and I was greatly encouraged. And about 3 weeks after we moved over, God began to move in a wonderful way and began to stir. We began to move up and there's a fresh breath. And of course, there's vacations and so forth, and camp meeting lingered on, and people were gearing up for camp meeting and getting ready. And we were saying that we're going to get all ready and build up, ready for camp meeting to start a new year. And I've noticed the last week, it just seems like that the congregation, the music ministry, everybody's been kind of, there's been kind of a binding. There's been a force we've had to fight through. We've had the presence of God, but there's been a binding force. And tonight, as I was praying, and Chrissy Drake was next to me, a prayer warrior, and one of the young ladies who used to pray for me quite some time ago, and I called her my prayer partner, Nancy Rice came over, and I just felt, before she came over, I felt to ask her to pray for me. I said, because I just felt urged to have her pray for me. And I said, because I feel I'm concerned about the body. And I want you to pray that God will use me to help break loose into a new freedom in God. And I feel there has been hindering spirits. Now I want to ask you the question, what do you do when you feel hindering spirits in a service and there isn't the flow of the Spirit as we want it? Do you sit back and criticize? Do you sit back and say, boy, they sure don't have it today. Well, that was the wrong way to go. That was the wrong song. Boy, it's really getting dull. If you do, that's exactly what the devil wanted you to do. Or do you begin to really travail in prayer and rebuke the forces of evil and claim the victory by faith in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, we have the victory. You said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Satan, I rebuke you. Get thee hence, the Bible says, that rebuke the Satan and he shall flee from you. You have no part with us. We are God's people. We are going through. We are people of faith. And we stand in God's faith. And we reckon it done tonight and we claim the victory. Now, I really mean this with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my mind. And I beseech you by the mercies of God that every single one of you, without exception, if you see that there is a battle in spiritual forces or a binding or a cloud on the assembly, to begin to travail with everything you got and claim the victory right during the service where you're there. No matter, even if you're singing inside, you're praying, oh God, I claim the victory. Oh Lord, dispel those forces that are binding God's people and set them free. And when we do, you know, there's been times when we've been kind of choked and we've stopped and said, we can't go any further. Let's really pray. And every time God has broke the yoke. Over in the other assembly, on two or three occasions, I was feeling good and I come to something and I feel a tremendous sleepiness come upon me. Tremendous. And I'd get up and I said, pray. I knew it was the devil. And the people prayed and it was gone like that. And then it had a great anointing. He wanted to break the anointing. So he brought heavy sleep. If we could open our eyes like Gehazi and see the demons of sleepiness just programming the mind. Sleep, sleep, you're falling asleep. You're getting very sleepy now. Don't think they don't. Don't think those demons that lie to your mind and give you lying emotions and tempt you. Don't think that there aren't hordes of spirits to you saying, Sleep on now. Sleep on. Don't think there are demons coming to you doing a sermon that put thoughts in your mind to cause your mind to wander. Don't think that they don't. Don't think there are demonic spirits that come to you telling you, leave the church. Don't think that there are spirits that come to you to say, well, go visit people right afterwards instead of the prayer meeting. Don't think there are demons that says, well, leave after Sunday school. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. Yes, it's ridiculous, but they do it anyway because you fall for it. Don't think there are not demonic forces telling you all kinds of lies. Lies about the speakers, lies about the pastor, lies about one another. I remember a roofer I used to know, a man who loved God, and he said up on the roof, he'd like his voice would come to him, jump off, jump off, jump off. Well, old Billy Bray, the coal miner, used to hear the same voices as he was working in the coal mines. And he was witnessing for Jesus. And there was a great big shaft. And his voices would come into his mind and say, jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off, jump off. He knew where they were coming from. He'd shout out loud in front of all the other old rough coal miners, oh, jump off yourself, old smutty foot. He wasn't about to let those voices cram him down. Don't think they aren't lying to people. Trying to break the body, trying to break the unity, trying to cause division. Bringing forces in that make everything seem some other way. Coloring with your mind something else. Don't think they don't come to you during a service and say, you can't praise God. You can't raise your hands and praise God. Look at that sin you did. Look how you fought with your wife this morning. You can't stand and praise God, you old hypocrite. You old hypocrite. You just fought with your wife today. You can't do that. You have to wait and pray after the service and get holy. Don't think they don't come to you and say that. The devil came to Martin Luther and he said, look at all the sins you've done. And he had a whole long list he went through. And Martin Luther said, is that all? And he says, no, there's more. And he read more. And he says, is that all? He said, no, there's more. And he read more. And when he got through, he said, were you right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin across the front and begone. And at one time, the devil appeared to him. He grabbed an ink bottle and threw it at him. That apparition seemed so real. And it splattered the wall. It becomes a mark of history that there's a splatter all over Martin Luther's wall of ink where he threw the ink bottle at the devil. Modern theologians like to laugh at that. Chuckle, chuckle, Middle Ages myth. But it was no myth. He may not have been solid enough, and the ink bottle wouldn't have hurt him, neither would the ink, and Martin Luther wasn't thinking too much about that at the time. All he knew is his spirit was grieved at that monster. And don't think they're not around. The Bible said Joshua the high priest stood to minister before the Lord, and Satan came along also and stood beside him. Stood beside the very high priest of God. There was a day when the sons of God gathered together, the scripture says. And it said Satan came along also. And the sons of God came to gather at community chapel, and the devil came along also. Don't think that he doesn't, my friend. We're battling principalities and powers in high places. Don't think that they don't have their emissaries. This is a real spiritual battle that we're in. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The Greek is governments. Principalities and governments. They have a whole government. And they're working hard. This is why when you see things, you find yourself under heavy negative pressures. You find yourself just picky with your wife and husband. You find yourself critical. You better wake up and find out what's happening to you, my friend. And then the people say, well, I just feel to go someplace else. Well, I just feel, I don't know where, I just feel. Well, then you better wake up and realize it's not you feeling, but it's the demons feeling through you. I've had a lot of experience of people who just feel a certain way, and I lay hands on them and rebuke the devil, and they don't feel that way at all anymore. 3 minutes later, they feel entirely opposite. Now that tells me something. I've had that experience over and over again. But they felt something. They were locked, deadlocked into something that nobody could talk them out of, and they were positive of it. And I laid hands on them and rebuked the devil, and they felt the opposite, just like that. Now, I am going to ask you, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. I magnify my office, as Paul says, and I am going to ask you to do your utmost to remember that whenever you feel a damn come upon you or any other saint or the body of Christ, you go to prayer immediately. Somebody comes up and they're full of all kinds of criticism. Start praying right there. Say, come up and you notice how critical. Say, brother, I perceive that the devil, enemy of your soul, is bothering you. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you accusing spirit, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Leave this brother of Christ. That'll be good for him and the devil both. And I don't mean maybe, and I'm not kidding, and this is no hyperbole. And if more of us would do it, more of them would get deliverances, and more of them would not go on letting the devil guide them. And the devil comes to you in a service and says, oh, you can't praise God because. How many of you are righteous? You are righteous. You are righteous. Would you raise your hand? How many righteous ones do we have? There's one back there. Now, how many would like to be righteous? Okay, that's most of all of you. Huh? How many just have that feeling that this old flesh, this old body of death, doomed body and flesh and law of sin is banging on you till you're mourning after righteousness and you're just not that righteous vessel that you want to be? How many feel that way? Well, that's most of you. Now, how many would like to know how to be righteous? Every time you came to a service, you were all righteous. How many would like to be righteous? Would like to be really righteous. Let me tell you how to be righteous. Now, this really, I'm really serious about this. This is no gimmick. This is an actual spiritual principle direct from the Word of God. Listen to it in the book of Romans. Chapter 4. Listen very, very carefully. Now, if you're going to read, okay, but I don't want you hunting for it and your mind on something else so you miss it. Whether you read or not, I don't care, but I want you to listen to every word and understand what I'm saying here. Because I'm saying what the Word is saying. Chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What has he found? For if Abraham were justified by works. Now, don't you honestly kind of justify yourself by your works or condemn yourself by your bad works or lack of works? I mean, don't you really say, well, I don't feel very holy because my works haven't been holy. I've been doing some bad works and I haven't been doing some good works. Isn't that really how most of you feel inside? Isn't that kind of a roadblock to your praise and prayer, is that sin of bad works and the lack of good works of praise and witnessing and all the other? Isn't that a cramp on your life when you're not working for the Lord? And you're doing bad works and working for the devil. Isn't that a cramp? I mean, really, isn't it? Well, now listen. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. If he could do good works, he has something to glory in, those good works. But it would not be to the glory of God. It would be to the glory of Abraham. Now, if you had somewhat to glory in, if you had good works, if you did good works, then you could glory in yourself and God would get no glory and credit from it. That's what the Bible says. For what saith the Scripture? That's the appeal. Abraham believed God. How many of you believe God? Okay. and it. What's it refer to? Believe. He believed God, and it, the belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, Abraham didn't have the righteousness, but he had faith. And the faith was counted for righteousness. Now, some of you may have food coupons. And you go to the store and you plunk down some food coupons, and that food coupon is counted as a $10 bill. Well, however much they are. I don't know how much they are. I haven't seen one. God bless me too. But whatever amount they are, it is counted for money. And if it's counted for money, it buys the same thing as money. Your paper money is counted as gold. And it buys the same as gold. Although it's just paper and it's not worth anything. There's not gold behind it. But it's counted for gold. Your faith will be counted for righteousness. And it will buy the same as righteousness. Now, how do you like that? I like it too. Praise the Lord. Good work. That's what I like to hear. I'm going to just kick the devil right smack out of this place. Dispel of his lies. Now, look what he says in verse 17. Okay, listen carefully. Verse 18. No, verse 17 will start. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. He believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. How many dead ones do we have? He quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You say, well, I've got some things that are not. How would you like him to call them and count them as though they were? Who? Now, see, he was talking about Isaac to be born. He counted it as though it was, although he couldn't see it. You don't see yourself in heavenly places. You don't see yourself perfected. You don't see yourself. How about counting it as though you were in the promise and provision of God? Do you do that? I'm going to tell you right now that you that don't walk in the victory. And you that do, walk in the victory. That's right. There's nobody that doesn't count themselves in that place that doesn't walk in the victory. Who, against hope, there was no hope for Abraham. He was past years. Who, against hope, you say, well, there's no hope for me. Then, that by faith against hope. No, I mean that. My wife tonight, I don't know who she was talking to, but she was, used the term arguing with this sister who was arguing on the phone with her. And I heard my wife saying, but Jesus will see you through. Yeah, but you see, you are not claiming the promise, but it doesn't make any difference. God will. And she was constantly doing this. That person was talking with natural eyes about what they could see in the world without hope. My wife was talking about counting it against hope by taking the promise of God. My father was dying of uremic poisoning. My mother counted against hope. God raised him from the dead. My brother drowned. They couldn't revive him. He's a little baby. My father counted against hope, and God revived him. My brother was dying of mastoid. He was on his deathbed, on the very last of it. My parents counted against hope, and God healed him instantly. Went out and played baseball the same day. Who against hope believed in hope? Some of you don't believe in hope. That's the problem. that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Not according to how old Abraham was and how old his wife was. Not according to the biology books. Not according to how young you have to have children. But according to that which was spoken. When God's people begin to act for that which was spoken, instead of by the physics books and the history books and all the other things that you read, they'll start getting someplace. This is a spiritual life we live, and it's not bound by materialism. So shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Do you consider your life now dead? Then you are weak in faith, because God is greater than your dead body and dead marriage. God is greater than all your sins and all the condemnation of the devil. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He gave glory to God before he ever received the promise. Now, all of us give glory to God after we receive the promise, but do we give glory to God before we receive the promise? If we don't, we lack faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And if you believe with all your heart, you're bouncing. If you believe that in 3 days or something that you're going up in the rapture, you would be bouncing. If you believe in 3 days you'd have a new home and all this, and you'd win $1 million and be able to really work in the gospel or whatever, you would be excited ahead of time. And being fully persuaded, see, that's a problem. A lot of us are like the man that said, Lord, help my unbelief. Now, pardon me, let me get this right now. Just give me a second. He said, what did he say? Yes. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, God's given some pretty fantastic promises. Are you reckoning them for you? And if not, why not? And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was imputed for righteousness. It was the same as if he were righteous, because he believed in the righteous God. Now notice what the next... you say, well, yeah, but that was Abraham. Abraham was he was a mighty patriarch. That was for Abraham. No, I disagree. And the Bible disagrees with you, if you say that. The next verse disagrees with you. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. You see, well, that was just for us to be encouraged. No, no, no. Listen to the next clause. To whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. What's that saying? That's saying this was written that we, of whom the ends of the earth will come at the end of the age, we also shall receive that which Abraham received. It's all belief shall be imputed to us for righteousness if we believe the work of Calvary is efficacious for us, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Therefore we stand holy and pure, and if God before us, who can be against us? And you can say, Lord, I fought with my wife this morning. I sinned. I repent. I was wrong. And I come, Lord, to say, deliver me from this flesh. Deliver me from this quick temple. Put me in a mind to be like Christ and be patient and long-suffering and even to bear false reproach for thy name's sake with patience and love. And therefore I repent before you, Almighty God, and I ask you to make me very careful, and I will do my utmost to be careful from now on not to fall into this trap. And now, having been forgiven by the grace of God, I now stand as though I have never sinned because of the mercy of God. And now in the service, Lord, I can raise holy hands unto you and enter into the holy place of God because I am righteous and believing for thy blood that has cleansed me from all sin. And God has removed it from the east, as far as the east is from the west, to remember against me no more. And though my sins were scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And therefore I stand sinless before you with the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. And I have perfect liberty to praise him in this service. See, it's not a disdaining of your sins and say, oh, well, I sinned all sin. It don't make any difference, you know. I mean, you know, I got ability and God will always. No, it's not that. You get thinking too, you're too big and too smart. And then you just disdain your sins. You find out that you can't pray even, let alone do anything else. But when you repent, and then you believe. Now, if you repent and don't believe, you don't get anywhere. You can wallow, you can pray all night in your pew and wallow over your sins. No, I'm an evil person. You can admit. But until you admit by faith his work for you, you are still under a damp. You have got to take the resurrection power for yours. You've got to take the blood of Christ applied to your sins and wash them away. You've got to believe in the work. And then you can stand among the beloved. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's take hold of the victory of God. Don't let the devil rob us. This means two things now in conclusion. One, whenever we see any lack, we pray with all we've got. How many will do that? Okay, now how many will really do it? Thank you. Now, the second thing it means is that whenever we come to service and we feel that we are not righteous, we pray, get it all taken care of, and then believe God. And when we feel we're all righteous, then we repent, and we pray and believe God and get that taken care of. And then we walk with God and be free in the service, and then with unabandoned praise, just pour out the praise in a complete freedom with confidence before God. He that holdeth his confidence steadfast in the end shall be saved.